We're beginning here on the middle of Chofet Amud Bet by the two dots, just to quickly review the statement of the Ziknei Darom, because the Ziknei Darom are central to everything that happens over today's daf because of their statement over here. So we're discussing that the Mishnah says that a Tamei, a Kohen Tamei that does Avoda, is Mechalel de Avoda. And now the Ziknei Darom have a statement about that. Amru Ziknei Darom, Lo Shanu El Tamei Sheretz. That's only true if the Kohen is Tamei Tumat Sheretz. Aval Tamei Tumat Meit, Mitoch Shmeratze B'tzibur, Meratze Nami B'yachid. So since Tumat Meit has dispensations in other situations, which is when the Tzibur is Tamei, we allow the Korban HaPesach to be brought despite the Tumah that exists. So that's a special dispensation by Korban HaPesach, which either is Hutra or Duchuya. There are different ways to phrase that. But at least Tuma Hutra B'tzibur, Tuma Duchuya B'tzibur allows you to bring the Korban Pesach B'tuma B'tzibur. So the Ziknei Darom say that's not only true when it comes to the Tzibur, but has implications with regards to the Yachid. And that is that if an individual brought his Korban and the Kohen was Tamei, the person who was processing his Korban Pesach was Tamei, that there is a dispensation B'di Avad that allows it to go through. So that's not true l'chatchila by the tzibur. It's l'chatchila, you bring it bituma. Over here, when it comes to the yachid, tuma is mirutza, and you can get over problems of tuma at least b'diavad. So Mar says, yochi tamei sheretz name leite b'kal v'chomer. If that's the case, then we should also be able to bring a tamei sheretz b'kal v'chomer. Rashi actually eliminates the words yochi because it's not really a pol yotze from their previous statement, but rather a distinction between Tamei Sheretz and Meit, which would be just Tamei Sheretz, Nami Leite Bekal V'chomer. That would be a statement, rather than Ihochi, from the statement of the Ziknei Darom, let us say the following. In a second, we'll explain that the Balei Tosfot, Rabbeinu Tam, has a different view here. Rashi says, Tamei Sheretz, Nami Leite Bekal V'chomer, Mitamei Meit. Ma Tamei Meit, Shitu'un Hazash Lishi V'shvi, Miratzeh. In the case of Tamei Meit, which is a much more significant and serious form of Tuma, that requires you to get sprinkled on by the waters of the Parah Duma on the third and seventh day, and yet it's still Miratzeh, Tamei Sheretz, She'enu Ta'un Hazakim V'shvi, Enu Din Shemiratzeh, then certainly by the case of Tuma Sheretz, which is a lower form of Tuma, then it definitely should allow for Ritzui to take place in this situation. Nasavre Ziknei Rom, Michaprim Kimit Kaprim. The Ziknei Darom have a basic principle, which is Michaprim, those that provide kapara, the Kohanim. Mikimit Kaprim are like the Baalim, the owners of the Korban, that receive the kapara from the Korban. Mamit Kaprim, Tamemet in Tamei Sheretz Lo. Just like when it comes to the Mit Kaprim, those receiving kapara, the Baalim of the Korban, Tamemet is significant in the sense that there's Ritzue, or there's Tuma Hutra B'tzibur, but by Tamei Sheretz, that's just not true. Michaprim. So too, with regards to the Kohen who's processing the Korban, Tamei Meit in, Tamei Sheretz lo. So Tamei Meit works, Tamei Sheretz doesn't work. And that's a distinction that the Ziknei Darom are making. The Rabbeinu Tam here has an unusual shita, and he suggests that you can keep the Ihochi in here, and say as a derivative of the statement of the Ziknei Darom, that there's actually implications here. It's in the Tosafot on the right side, towards the end of the narrow lines. It says, Hagah, Rabbeinu Tam garas ihochi. He does put ihochi umafareish. Dibimoado afilu bituma. That the limud that we have by the Korban Pesach is that it's brought bimoado at its time. And that teaches you no matter what it's brought at its time, even bituma. Hainu bembemeit, bembesheretz. The Rabbeinu Tam, unlike almost all the other Rishonim, believes that tumat sheretz and tumat meit both are dispensations to bring the Korban. Ben de Pesach, ben de tamid. Whether you're speaking about the Korban HaPesach, whether you're speaking about the Korban HaTamid. V'had amrei ziknei darom lo shanu el tamei sheretz, aval tamei meit t'toch shemiratzeh b'tzibur. So then, how does he explain the ziknei darom's distinction? The ziknei darom over here tell you there's a difference between meit and sheretz, because meit is hutra b'tzibur, or duchuya b'tzibur, legabei Korban HaPesach. Tumat sheretz is not. So that whole distinction is premised exactly on this difference. And the Rabbeinu Tam just wiped out that difference in saying that Tamei Meit and Tamei Sheretz have that ability. He says, Mitoch Shemiratzeh B'tzibur, Mayri B'ritzui Shel Achila B'tuma. The Ritzui by Korban HaPesach has an unusual aspect to it, which is not only can you bring the Korban B'tuma, you can eat the korban betumah. That's the unusual aspect of the korban of Pesach. Klomar, he talks from Ratzeh Ritzui Gadol. It has a super Ritzui. Shenechal betumat balim bemeit. Just because of that special dispensation of the Qurban to eat it bitumah, then even the Kohen is tamei, tumat meit, it should be mrutzeh. Tumat sheretz allows the tzibur to bring it even bitumah. Kogom, hechad nitmu kohenim, o asakinim b'sheretz, the avdei bitumah, that you're allowed to still do it bitumah b'modo, but nevertheless, you cannot eat that Qurban. It says you can't eat that korban, we're not going to allow for the dispensation of the ritzui to apply to the kohen as well. And that's why it would say ihochi. That's the ihochi over here from the derivative of the statement of the Zikne Tarom, that is, tamei sheretz nami leite b'kal v'chomer. Why can't you make the same kal v'chomer, which is mitamei meit? If tamei meit allows you the dispensation, first of all, of Tuma Hudra B'tzibur. Secondarily, it now says that a Kohen, who's Tameh, is fine, then by Sheretz you should be able to say the exact same thing. Because of the way that you're describing to us over here, they both are Hudra B'tzibur. There's only one unique aspect of the Korban HaPesach with regards to Tumat Meit, is that it can be eaten. But otherwise, Tumat Sheretz and Tumat Meit are really equal in many ways, with Tumat Meit being more Chamor, yet they all have the same dispensations. If that's the case, derivative of that would be Tumat Sheretz should have the same din with regards to the Kohen being fine. The Gemara's answer is Mechaprim Kemit Kaprim, that doesn't work because there's this correlation between those that receive the Kapara and those that are providing the Kapara. And by the Mit Kaprim, we know that eating the Korban Pesach with Tumah only works by Tumat Meit. So too, the dispensation to allow a Kohen who does it with Tumah to allow the Korban to be fine is also only by Tumat Meit. So either way that you learn it, the Gemara here is concluding that the Zikne Tarom only said their statement by Tumat Meit, and it's not extrapolable to Tumat Sheretz. Maika Sabre. Now the Gemara wants to understand, these Zikne Tarom, what do they hold? So these are going to become the basic tenets of the Zikne Tarom, which are very important to today's daf, because that's what we're going to challenge along the way. Ika Sabre, in Shochtim Zokim Atame Sheretz, if they believe that on the 14th of Nisan, if someone has tamei tumat sheretz, that we do not allow them to bring their korban haPesach, then amaylo avdei tzibur bituma. Then why can't the tzibur bring the korban haPesach bituma? Kol shebi yachid nitche tzibur avdei bituma. Anything whereby a yachid would be nitcheit, pushed off the Pesach Sheni, in that situation the tzibur would bring it bituma. So that has to do with the parshia of Pesach Sheni that's found in Parshat Balotcha. And over there it says, Daber al b'nei Yisrael, emor ish, ki yed tamed l'nefesh, over derech rechoka lachem, ala derdechem, basa Pesach l'Hashem. So here you have an ish, ki yed tamed. So there it speaks about individuals are tameim, then they are given the right to bring it on Pesach Sheni. The Gemara darshins in Pesachim from ish, Ish nidchet b'Pesach Sheni, ve'en etzibur nidchet b'Pesach Sheni. Only individuals are pushed off the Pesach Sheni, not the whole tzibur. And so there, the Gemara now sees a parallel structure here. If the yachid is pushed to the Pesach Sheni, then the tzibur can do it bituma. So if they believe that the individual by tumat sheretz cannot bring his korban on erev Pesach when he's tamei tumat sheretz, that means he's pushed off the Pesach Sheni. Well, then he can invoke the principle which says, if an individual gets pushed to Pesach Sheni, the tzibur is then empowered to do it bitumah. That means that the tzibur could do tumat sheretz no problem on Pesach Rishon. That's the case, then the distinction you drew between tamei meit and tamei sheretz doesn't exist. Just like tumat hutra b'tzibur for the tamei meit, so too by tumat sheretz. So that can't be their position. Ela, kasavre shochatim b'zorkim al tamei sheretz. They must believe that you can bring a korban on behalf of an individual who is tamei. The korban Pesach, unlike any other korban, but you can send the korban when you are tamei, because there's no restriction against you sinning as a tamei, and there's no requirement that you personally consume the korban. Therefore, by any other korban, it's not even a question. You can send it bitumah. The question is by korban Pesach, where you need to eat it. And over there, the Zikne Tarom say, shochtim v'zorkim al tamei tumat sheretz. Remember, some of those tamei tumat sheretz is one day's tumah. It's a single day worth of tumah. The person goes to the mikveh on that day, they become a tevul yom. The sun sets on them, that night they are completely tehorim. So basically what you're doing is, on Erev Pesach, on behalf of this individual, even though he can't be present, he can't be in attendance, but he does have the capacity to eat the Korban Pesach that night. So we will, with Shlichim, have that Korban Pesach brought on his behalf. People will represent him there. He'll be part of a Chabura that's bringing the Korban Pesach. They'll bring the Korban Pesach, Shochtim v'Zorkim, al Tumat HaSheretz, and then he will be permitted to eat it that night. Once the sun sets that night, he's got the green light to eat the Korban. So that's how he'll accomplish his Korban. But that means if an individual is to make Tumat HaSheretz on Erev Pesach, does not get pushed off to Pesach Sheni, that means that its seaboard hasn't granted the right to do it bituma, because they can all do it the same way the Yachid does it. They'll all bring their Korban HaPesach on Erev Pesach, bituma Sheretz, they'll use Kohanim Tehorim, wherever is Tehor, they'll do the Korban HaPesach, and at night, everybody will be Tehor, and they'll be able to eat their Korban HaPesach. So that'll be the distinction that differentiates Tumat Meit from Tumat Sheretz, and allows the Ziknei Darom to say that a Kohen, who's Tameh Tumat Tameh, when it comes to the Korban HaYachid, he will still be Miratzeh Bidi Avad. It will not be Mechulal Bidi Avad. It's only true by Tumat Meit. Now, Amar Ula, Taka Lohu Resh Lakish L'Darumai. Ula says that Resh Lakish came and threw an arrow. He basically came to upend the view of the Ziknei Darum. Chiezeh Koach Mirubeh. Which is stronger? Koach Mechaprim or Koach Mitkaprim? What is stronger, the Kohanim who are providing the Kapara, or the Mitkaprim, the Baalim, who are bringing the Korban? Aviomer Koach Mitkaprim. It's clear that the Mitkaprim have a better setup or situation. Umav makom shenitma'u Baalim b'sheretz, mishalkim karbonotehen. When it comes to Tumat Sheretz, if the Baalim are to make Tumat Sheretz, as we just discussed, then the Ziknei Darom believe you send your Korban in, and then you're able to eat it that night. So as far as the Baalim are concerned, Tumat Sheretz is not something that stops you from bringing the Korban HaPesach. Nevertheless, Kohen Shinitma B'Sheretz, Enu Miratzeh. But a Kohen who is the Tamei Tumat Sheretz, who does Avoda, no question that his Avoda is Mechulelet. That's the case here. Tamei, who does Avoda as a Kohen, is Mechulelet. Even the Ziknei Darom agreed that when Tumat Sheretz comes about, the Kohen is disqualified and the avoda that he does is invalidated. Makom shenitma ubalim b'meit, she'ein mishalchim korbanotayim. When it comes to Tumat Meit, where you're not granted the dispensation to send your korban, despite the fact that you are Tamei Tumat Meit, Kohen shenitma b'meit, enu din she'enu miratzeh, then certainly the Kohen himself should not be able to be miratzeh in that case. So in a case where the Baalim have dispensation to send their korban despite their Tumah, there we say the Kohen is disqualified, then certainly in the case where the Baalim are not provided any dispensation to bring their Korban, then certainly the Kohen who's processing it should not be qualified, and what he does should be invalid. So that was the question Reish Lakish threw out at the Ziknei Darom. So the Gemara answers again, and here's another one of the principles of the Ziknei Darom. Kasabe Ziknei Darom, Tamemeit Nami Meshalei Korbanotav. That a Tamemeit can send his Korban. It's an unbelievable statement, because we'll see in one second, as we well know, that the Korban HaPesach is the Korban that needs to be eaten. It's the only Korban where Achila is Me'akevet. That means that if the person's incapable or unable to eat the Korban HaPesach, then you may not bring a Korban HaPesach for that individual. Whether in the end he actually has to eat it in order to be Yotzei the Korban, that's a different din. In the end, the Gemara says that even if they don't eat it in the end, then it's still a good Korban. But they need the capacity, ability, to eat it in order for it to be a good Korban. All of a sudden, the Ziknei Darom are saying that a Tamei Meit Nami Mishalech Korbanotav, he can send his Korbanot. Now, when we're speaking about a Tamei Meit here, we're not speaking about a Tamei Meit on his seventh day. A Tamei Meit on the seventh day, after he gets his Hazza'ah of the seventh day from the Parah Adumah, is no different than a Tamei Tumat Sheretz. He's exactly in the same position. All he has left is goes to the mikveh, he's a tvul yom, and then that night he'll be fine. So that's clearly not what we're speaking about, because that's the equivalent of tumat sheretz. And if you believe shochtim v'zorkim al tamei sheretz, you'll be shochet v'zorek al tamei meit on his seventh day after his hazayah. That clearly is not what we're speaking about here. We're speaking about a case where a tamei meit sent his korban when he's in the middle of his tumat meit. When he's there, he hasn't finished being processed with tara. She's not going to be able to eat the korban that night. What's going to become clear from here is that the Zikne Darom don't believe that that is a me'akev in the korban. You can see in Rashi over here, Yochid tamei meit, nami mishlech korban tav, klomar, im shilech piskol azara, shachadub zarku alav patur melasot pesach sheni. This absolves him of the obligation to bring a pesach sheni when he sends it, when he's tamei to matmeit. Fafu pishlo yochal mimenu. Even though he can't eat from it, Kasavri achila psachim lo me'akevet. They believe that achila psachim is not me'akev. It's obvious from the fact that they're allowing this to go on. Mi'u lechatchilo amar rachmana nidcha lepesach sheni. The proper thing to do, the right way to deal with this is to wait till Pesach Sheni. But if the guy sent it anyway when he's tamei to matmeit, and they processed it not knowing that he was tamei to matmeit, then b'diavad he's yotzei the korban of Pesach. So this is another principle of the Zikne Darom. First of all, shochtim v'zorkim al tamei sheretz, and then beyond that, shochtim v'zorkim al tumat tamei. Now, not l'chatchila, b'diavad, this is the case, because otherwise they're against the pasuk in the Torah. Faktiv ish ish kia tamei l'nefesh, the pasuk that we read before by korban Pesach, that pushes you off the Pesach Sheni, v'asa Pesach v'chodesh Sheni. If you're tamei tumat meit, you wait till Pesach Sheni. How can they tell you, oh, you don't have to wait till Pesach Sheni, just send your korban? So that's the difference, l'mitzvah. Difference between the chatchila and bidiyavad. The chatchila, wait till Pesach Sheni. Bidiyavad, you don't want to wait till Pesach Sheni, and you send it, the korban is good. You don't have to do another korban on Pesach Sheni. We would not advise you to do so. We would not counsel anyone to act in this way. But if it happened to be this way, they are yotzei the korban. And in that way, they take away Reish Lakish's question, because now it's true that the tumat meit is also able to send their korban. Just like the tumat sheretz is able to be processed, and the kohen is disqualified. So over here, the tamei meit is also able to be processed, and therefore you can't prove anything that say, kal v'chomer, that the tumat meit should be disqualified, because it has the same heter in terms of the balim. And that means that you can't prove anything about the kohen. There's no kal v'chomer anymore. It says, v'haktiv. What about the fact that the pasuk says by the korban ha-pesach, ish l'fi ochlo? So here again, they're challenging this basic premise that you can bring a korban ha-pesach without having to eat the korban ha-pesach. Isn't this one of the basic tenets, again, of a korban ha-pesach, is the ability to eat from the korban ha-pesach? And that is because it says, v'imi mata bayit miot miseh, lakachu ushkenu akorov ubeito, b'michsat nefashot, ish lefi ochlo tochosu alaseh. So this pasuk is central to understanding the korban ha-pesach. First of all, b'michsat nefashot means by the count of the heads. And there, the Gemara learns that you have to have what's called minuim. In order to be yotzei the Korban HaPesach, you need to be a member of this Korban HaPesach in order for it to be valid for you, and for you to eat or consume from this Korban HaPesach, you need to be mixat nefashot. You must be counted amongst those that are being in the Korban HaPesach at first. That's the first din. The second din is ish lefi achlo. That according to the way that you can eat, that's how we put you together on the Korban HaPesach. But again, that makes it that ish lefi ochlo, the capacity to eat and consume the korban ha-pesach, again, is central to your ability to bring the korban ha-pesach. And then last is tachosu alaseh. There, the word tachosu, Chazal understand it two ways. One is tachosu alaseh is limnu yav. You, again, the same word as michsat. They're using tachosu, that you have to be appointed a member of this korban ha-pesach. Chazal also, darshan the word there, tachosu means to shchita. And that tells you that the minuim on the Korban HaPesach, you can join a Korban HaPesach, leave a Korban HaPesach until the moment of Shechita. The moment of Shechita, that is the cutoff. So the Gemara is quoting this pasuk and saying, "Baktiv ish lefi achlo." Gemara says, "The mitzvah again. That's only the chatchila. The chatchila, you should be able to eat it, and you should have the capacity to eat it. V'diyavad, if you don't have the capacity to eat it, we're going to let it go." Gemara says, "Ulu kuvei lo." Are you so certain that that is not ma'akev, that even b'diavad you need to be able to eat the korban ha-pesach? V'atanya, b'michsat nefashot. L'mei she'im pesach nishchat elim nuyav. That's what we just discussed. Michsat nefashot means by the number of individuals. So that number or that enumeration means you need to be manui. You need to be a member of the korban ha-pesach. Shechato shalolim nuyav. If you shecht it for someone who's not a member of the korban ha-pesach, you would think that's only a problem lechatchila, But b'diavad, he'd be totally fine. Talmud lomar tachosu. Hakatuv shana alav le'akev. It said b'michnat nefashot. And then it says tachosu al haseh. It says it twice. We have the principle. When the Torah repeats things in Kodoshim, that means that it is me'akev. So here we know that minuim are me'akev the korban. If you're not a member of the korban of Pesach, and then the Kohen has you in mind, you're not yotze the korban of Pesach, and you're not valid to eat from this korban of Pesach. Ve'itkish uchlim leminuim. In that pasuk, it spoke about ish lefi achlo, and also spoke about michtat nefashot. So there is a hekesh that exists between the uchlim and the minuim. So there is Rashi notes over here, ma minuim me'akvei, af uchlim me'akvei. Shim shachatol etzmeim, ulu arelim, v'chole v'zakein, sheni uchlim lechok zayit pasul, v'afilu hein minuim. Even if they are members of the korban, it says lefi ish lefi achlo. So it says in the pasuk, even if you're a member of a korban, if you don't have the capacity to eat it, you're disqualified from that korban. So now, there is a connection then between the uchlim and the minuim that are found in the pasuk, where it says, ziknei darom lo makshe. So here's the third leg of the stool of the ziknei darom. They believe there is no such hekesh. Now, the truth is that the hekesh here is not like a real hekesh, the way you normally have two halachot that are next to each other. And the hekesh is the juxtaposition of these items within the pasuk, tells you that there's a hekesh between them. Over here, it's not really a hekesh, but rather a din. That if you are manui on the Pesach, it has to be the fiyah chalo. That you have to be someone who consumed the korban of Pesach. Otherwise, you're not considered to be a manui. So even if you are a manui, what qualifies you as a manui is if you can consume it. So it isn't really like a normal hekesh. We have two separate dinim. It's a din that's subsumed within the din of manui. But therefore, the Gemara sees a connection or high correlation between the two factors, that manoi and achila are both subject to this equal, that if you don't have it, then the korban of Pesach is invalid. And the ziknei darom say, we don't want to make such a hekesh. Now, over here, the Baalei HaTosfot would say, who are these ziknei darom? You just brought a braita that says there is a hekesh. Ziknei darom are saying, no hekesh. How are they arguing on a braita? The implications of that are, and Baalei HaTosfot would say this here, the ziknei darom, Tanae havu. They must be Tanaim. Ziknei darom are not Amoraim, but Tanaim. Upligi amitniten de tamid nishchat. And therefore they're willing to argue on a Mishnah. So here you have a statement by Baalei Tosfot saying we have a Mishnah, we have a Braita, that all say that Shalolo Ochlav is problematic. Even B'diavad. How does Ziknei darom get around it? They're Tanaim. If it's Tanaim, they have a different position. And therefore, they can take a stand that is even against a Mishnah or against a Braita. Inami, Sviraluk, Rabbi Natan. Otherwise, they hold like another Tano that might have some position that is similar to this. Shalolo Ochlav is not problematic, even though the Gemara seems to conclude that if the person is incapable of eating the Korban of Pesach, that even Rabbi Natan agrees it's Pasul. They don't hold of that conclusion of the Gemara, but they hold of the Tana Rabbi Natan. So Tosfot gives you two options. Either they are Tanaim and they're arguing, or they subscribe to the Tana Rabbi Natan, and as Amoraim, they disagree with the Gemara's conclusion as to what the position of Rabbi Natan is. The Gemara now has the three legs of the Ziknei Darom, and now they're going to continue to question that. Mechilo makshi nami, meho nami idluhu pircha. So even if you want to say there is no hekesh over here, and therefore shlolo achlav is not me'akev the korban, you have another logical argument that could undermine the ziknei darom. Ubama makom shenitma ubalim b'sheretz. When it comes to balim, when they're tamei tumat sheretz, shim mishalchim korbanotem lechatchila. Over there, you're allowed to send your korban lechatchila. That was one of the principles of the ziknei darom. Shochtim zokrim al tamei tumat sheretz. So you're allowed to send it in lechatchila. Nevertheless, kohen shenitma b'sheretz inu meratzeh. Even the ziknei darom agree that if the kohen is tamei tumat sheretz, michulal, the avoda is problematic. Makom shenitma'u balim b'meit. The situation here where the balim are tamei tumat meit as individuals, sheim mishalchim korbanotem lechatchila. Even the ziknei darom agree that lechatchila you go to wait till Pesach Sheni. Only b'diavad are you allowed to send it in. Kohen shenitma b'meit enu din sheinu meratzeh. And certainly the kohen, who's the processor of the korban, if he's tamei tumat meit, certainly he should be disqualified. So here again, too much sheretz is a much lighter form of Tumah. There are more dispensations for the Baalim with regards to Tumah Cheret. Despite that, the Kohen is disqualified. So now, if you come to Tumah Neit, where there's less room and less maneuverability for the Baalim, they really should be waiting to Pesach Sheni, B'diavad, we allow them to go through, then certainly there, the Kohen processing it should be disqualified. How can you suggest, that's what the Zikne Rom do say, that the Kohen is fine and is Avoda B'diavad, is not invalidated. So Gemara says, Meitave. So besides from the logical argument against the position of the Zikne Darom, now we're trying to bring a Breita that seems upend the position of the Zikne Darom, which is that since they say by Korban HaPesach and by the Korbanot of Nazir, the Tzitz is Miratzeh. This is a concept that the Tzitz has the power to override certain disqualifications or invalidations in the Mikdash, generally revolving around Tum'ah, that when the Kohen Gadol is either wearing the tzitz according to one day'ah, or even when he's not wearing it according to another day'ah, the tzitz has the power to be meratzeh, al tumat dam, vein a tzitz meratzeh al tumat aguf. Takes care of tumat dam, it doesn't take care of tumat aguf. And the Gemara is going to ask, b'mai, what are we speaking about here in this bright? And from that conclusion, we're going to try to suggest that it's against the Zikne Darom. Tosafot now asks on himself, I just told you that the Zikne Darom are Tanaim, and they're able to argue on a Braita. So why are you bringing me a Braita that says something that maybe upends or disagrees with the Zikne Darom? They could just argue on the Braita. Why is a Braita a question? A Braita is a serious question on Moraim. It's not a serious question when it comes to another Tana. Another Tana can have his position in opposition to that Braita. So Tosafot over here says, Afagad de Pershin and Zikne Darom Tanai, Apircha de Seifa Somich. They are relying on the latter half of the Braita here, which we're going to see in a second is really Halacha LeMoshe MiSinai, because it's dealing with Tumat Tehom, and that everybody agrees to. And therefore, the real question of the Gemara is not from the beginning of the Braita, but from the latter half of the Braita. Others suggest the terminology Mipnei Amru is an indication that everybody agrees with this. Mipnei Amru means this is the type of statement that's not just a position, it's a position that was generally accepted by everyone. If that's the case, it would be problematic for the Zikne Daro. So, Meitave, Mipnei Shamru, Nazir Vosepesach, Tzitz Meretzel Tumata, Min, Tzitz Meretzel Tumata Guf, Bimai. What are we speaking about here? Ilema B'Tumat Sheretz. If we're speaking about Tumat Sheretz, Hamart, Shurchim, Vizorkim, Al Tumat Sheretz. So how can you make a claim that it's not Meretzel Tumata Guf, but there's not even a problem to start with? You can bring the Korban HaPesach and Erev Pesach when you are Tzemei Tumat Sheretz. Shidduch Mekubetz and Old Dalet points out a certain amount of absurdity in this assumption in the Hava Mina that we're talking about Tumat Sheretz. Because this tema, Ech Mektukma B'Tumat Sheretz, Halo Nazirenu Me'akfo M'Lishaleich Korban HaTorah B'Shvil Tumat Sheretz. There's no problem of Tumat Sheretz for a Nazir. A Nazir has one problem with Tumah. That's only Tumat Tameit. That's the only thing that disqualifies him. That's the only thing that gives him a problem. Because it says, V'chi yamut meitalav v'peta pitom. It has nothing to do with any other Tumah. If he had any Tumah, he could send his Korban oath, even though he is Tameit, like any other Korban, where one has permission to send the Korban when they are Tameit. So he answers, V'yish lamar, the Tumat Sheretz, the Kamar, Tzon lamar, ki ain't Tumat Sheretz. It says here, Tumat Sheretz doesn't literally mean Tumat Sheretz, but it really means Tamei Meit B'Shvi Shelo. Tamei Meit on his seventh day, where he, as we mentioned before, looks exactly like a Tamei Tumat Sheretz, and that's what the Hava Mina of the Gemara is now. But then you run into a problem, because that if he's on his seventh day of Tumah, how could he be bringing his Korban Nazir? He has to recount his whole Nazirut in order for it to count for him. So then why are we speaking about his Korbanot and being Meratza on Korbanot? It's not the Zman for him to bring Korbanot at all. He says, V'nira de Mishkachat Shvi b'Nazir Kagon, Shinit Malachar Malot Shmona b'Nazirut. He had already finished his full Nazirut. V'nit Ma'akodim Avad Korbanotav. And he became Tamei right before he brought his Korbanot. Deino Soter Elamone Zayin Yamim. It's not okay, his whole Nazirut. Rather, he just has to wait the 7 days to become Tor. And then he brings the Korban Teglachat for Tara on the 8th day. And on that it says, if he brought on the 7th day, where he's Tameh like Tumat Sheretz, maybe over there the Tzitz would be Meratzeh. And that was the Avamin of the Gemara over here. Ela Tumat Meit. Must be speaking about a Tumat Meit. Uktani, Ein Tzitz Meratzeh. It says that the Tzitz is Meratzeh al Tumat Dam. It takes care of the Korban itself if it became Tameh. But aim mitzitz meratze al tumata guf. It doesn't take care of someone who is physically tamei. That would include the kohen. Alma nitme ubalim b'meit aim mishalchim korbanotayim. Number one, it's clear from here that if the balim become tamei, they can't send their korban. The tzitz is not meratze on that fact that the balim are tamei, and they have to wait till Pesach Sheni. And on top of that, or a kal v'chomer would be that if a kohen is tamei, he certainly can't be processing the korban of Pesach b'diavad. Gemara says, "Lo, idit mubalim b'meit hachanami. If the balim were tamei to my mate in hachanami, it would work. Hachamai eskinan b'yon shenitma kohen b'sheretz." Situation is a case where the kohen became tamei too much sheretz. That'll be the solution to the problem over here. If the kohen is tamei too much sheretz, he's disqualified from being in the korban. The problem with this explanation is, and Rashi points this out, then why did the Braita specifically say Nazir ba'oseh Pesach? Nazir ba'oseh Pesach, with regards to tumat meit, have special status and have a special din. So if you're speaking to me about the balim being a main tamei tumat meit, or some issue with regards to the korban of tumat meit, then you can discuss why korban of Pesach and Nazir are unique. But if you tell me we're speaking about tumat sheretz, that's not unique to a korban Pesach or a Nazir. Any korban where the kohen was tamei too much sheretz would be disqualified, and there's no havamina that it should be uniquely associated with the korban of Pesach and the korban of Nazir. So Rashi says eino chanami. The reason the Braita used korban of Pesach and Nazir is for the seifa, which the Gemara is about to ask from. But the Reisha could have been written about any korban. The fact that the Braita narrowly spoke about Pesach and Nazir is nothing to do with the Reisha, but rather to do with the seifa, which is kiachiema seifa nitma tumata tohom hatzitz miratzeh. If someone became tamei tumata tohom, the tzitz takes care of it. Ha tani Rabbi Chiya, and Rabbi Chiya already qualified the concept of dua tohom that lo amru tumata tohom elul meit bilvad. That when it comes to tumata tohom, that's only relevant by tumat meit. So now the meit lo milte mai. When he says it's only relevant by tumat meit, where does that come to exclude? Lav de milte tumata tohom the sheretz. To tell you that tumat tohom of sheretz would not be mirutzeh, or tumat tohom would not deal with that issue. And even though it would seem to be a kal v'chomer, if tumat tohom by the mate is mutar, or there's no problem with it, then that certainly should be too by tumat sheretz, which is a lighter form of tumah. Rashi over here notes, it's halacha l'moshe m'sinai, and we have a din by halacha l'moshe m'sinai that you can't extrapolate logically from that. The reason it's halacha l'moshe m'sinai means it's a limited scope. Exactly what we say, that is the halacha, and it's not subject to the normal rules or drashot of Rabbi Ishmael, including kal v'chomer, and therefore, just because it's true by mate, doesn't mean it's automatically true by sheretz. So what you see is that the latter half of the breita is clearly speaking about tumat mate, because it's speaking about tumat tohom. Now we'll speak about what that means in a second, but tumat tohom, first of all, is only relevant by Pesach and Nazir, that's the halacha l'moshe m'sinai. Only has relevance there. On top of that, Rabbi Chiya says the din of tumat tohom is only applicable to tumat meit. It's uniquely associated with tumat meit. Well, if the latter half of the bright is speaking about tumat meit, that means that the first half of the bright is also speaking about tumat meit. That's the case. You're telling me that the first half of the bright is speaking about tumat sheretz, it can't be the right explanation. And that would, again, upend the view of the Zignei Daron, who say that a kohen tamei tumat meit is not disqualified, and this should sit his meratzeh. Over here we have a brighter saying that sits, it's not miratzeh, tumat aguf. And the tumat aguf we're speaking about here is tumat meit, because the latter half of the brighter is tumat meit, the first half of the brighter must be speaking about tumat meit. Now tumat tohom is a concept of tumah whereby there is a dispensation for someone bringing the korban of Pesach, or Nazir bringing his korbanot and his nizirut, if they passed over tumah that was never known. It was unknown tumah. Again, for instance, a case of a grave that was buried there that nobody knew about. And at the time that the individual went to process his korban of Pesach or the korban Nazir, it wasn't known at that time. Later on, after the fact, we find out that there was a grave there and that the person bringing the korban of Pesach or the Nazir passed over it. It's a tumah that was not known at all and not something that they could have anticipated or dealt with at all. Because halacha l'moshe m'sinai, that type of tumat tohom does not upend. If somebody brought their korban of Pesach, they don't need to bring another one in Pesach Sheni. It does not undermine the counting of the Nazir. So now, what Rabbi Yechiya says is that halacha Moshe Sinai is uniquely associated with Tumat Meit. That's the only place. And if you say Tumat Meit, it means Tumat Meit and not Tumat Sheret. The Gemara says, Lo, v'me'ute Tumat Om Deziva, and Ochanami, Tumat Meit, and Tumat Sheret are subsumed under this din of Tumat Om. And the thing that is excluded is Tumat Om Deziva. Now it's easy to understand what the distinction is. Tumat Meit and Tumat Sheret are Tumah that come from exogenous Tumah. They're not inherent Tumah to you. They came because you came into contact with something that conveyed Tumah to you. So Tumat Sheret, which is on a lower level than Tumat Meit, you can understand why Tumat Tohom would provide the same dispensation by Sheret as it does by Meit. Tumat Zivah, as we've seen before, is a type of Tumah that is exuded by the body. It's Tuma that you yourself generate and is not from an external Tuma that you have, was conveyed to you, but rather you yourself produce the Tuma by having an emission or exuding something that would be problematic. So now you have Tumat Ziva, that is different than Tumat Meit and Tumat Sheretz. And that's the distinction Rabbi Chiya is making. Tumat Meit covered by Tumat Tohom. Tumat Sheretz covered by Tumat Tohom. The thing that's not covered by that is Tumat Ziva. Now, how do you have a manifestation of Tumat Ziva that is similar to Tumat Tohom? So Rashi comes up with a scenario which the Balei Tosafot don't love, and that is that it happened ben Hashmashot, between the 13th and 14th of Nisan. 14th of Nisan is the day that you need to bring your Korban. 13th of Nisan is the day before. On ben Hashmashot, between those 2 days, a person has a sighting of Ziva. Now, as far as Zav is concerned, you have to have multiple Riyot to become a Zav. You have to have either multiple Riyot or multiple days. So here, the problem is, he had a Ben Hashmashot. When he has a sighting Ben Hashmashot, we don't know if he had one sighting. One sighting of Ziva is the equivalent of Tumat Keri, which is Tumat Yom, and like Tumat Sheretz can be dealt with, and you beat the whore by the next night. If you have Tumat Ziva, which is either you have 2 sightings or 3 sightings, then you have 7 days of Tumah. If you have 3 sightings, you even have to bring a Korban on the 8th day. This person had a sighting during Ben Hashmashot. So there's uncertainty as whether he had 1 sighting, because it was either day or night, or it was Ben Hashmashot, it was neither day nor night, but it was during that period of time he only had 1 sighting, and then he could bring the Korban. Or he had 2 sightings, because that Ben Hashmashot was both Yom and Laila. So it was partly on the 13th, partly on the 14th. That means that he really had 2 sightings, and it's Tameh Tumat Shiva. That is the Safek that Rashi says you have here. And it's a Safek that will never be decided. It's a Safek that you can bring no clarity to, because nobody knows what that status of Ben Hashmashot is, and the duration of the Ziva relationship to that Ben Hashmashot, just an impossibility to come to inclusion. Rashi calls that Tumat Tohom of Ziva. The Balei Tosafot don't like it for a number of reasons, one of which is, one of the basic premises of Tumat Tohom is, it's not known to anybody in the world. That's why it's called Tumat Tohom. Nobody in the world knows about it. Over here, the individual knows about it. Before he's bringing a Korban at Pesach, he's already aware of the Safek Tumah that he's already engaged in. The Tumat Tohom that we speak about by Tumat Meit is that nobody in the world knew about it. After the Shechita, after the fact, we find out that this situation came about. That's information that wasn't available at the time of Shechita. Here, according to Rashi's explanation, that's already available at the time of Shechita. Given that, that should not be classified as Tumat Tehom. So it has to be something that you're not aware of at the time that you're executing on the Shechita. It also has to be something that nobody knows about. Rashi's explanation fails on both pieces. It's known about before the Shechita, and you know about it, and maybe even other people know about it. It's not something that was hidden from view. So the Balei Tosafot come up with an alternate explanation. They give different stages along the way trying to come to a conclusion. And the final one is this. V'yesh lomar, kigon shirachat b'yud gimel. He saw on the 13th a sighting of Zav. B'taval, he went to the mikveh, v'erev shimsho, and then he had a erev shemesh. Shachat l'machar ha-Pesach. And then the next day, he was shochet the Pesach, v'achar ha-kein ra'ah shni'ah. And then he saw a second sighting. U'mitztarefet. And that connects to his first sighting. Ve'ein te karoi noda safek kodem shchita, kevin shetahor gamur b'shat ha-shchita. He was already fully tahor at the time of shchita. He assumed that the sighting that he saw on Erev, Erev Pesach, meaning on the 13th, was a sighting that was a singular event. And therefore, he went to the mikveh, he's completely tahor. He thinks he's done. He comes to shecht his korban HaPesach on the 14th, he's completely tahor. After he's already shechted his korban HaPesach, he has a second sighting. That second sighting will be mitzdareif to the sighting the day before. After he brought the korban HaPesach on the 14th, he has this sighting. That will be mitzdareif with the one from the 13th. Now he's a zav that is tamei 7 days. And his bringing of the korban HaPesach was improper because he was tamei at the time. He didn't know that, but he was tamei. So now this is tumat tahom. This is a case when he brought the korban HaPesach, he thought it was completely tahor. He had no reason to believe otherwise. Nobody else in the world knew about it. Tumah wasn't something that existed yet. After he already shechted the korban HaPesach, then the problem arises. That's called tumat tahom of ziva, and that's what's being excluded here, to say that there is no dispensation for such tumah, as opposed to tumat meit that was found out after the fact. Korban HaPesach will be kasher, b'diavad, halacha l'moshe misinai, you want to bring a Pesach sheni? This individual becomes tamei tumat zav. After shechting the korban Pesach, will have to bring a korban Pesach sheni, because he was disqualified for bringing the Pesach rishon. And that's what the statement, according to the Zigni Derom of Rabbi Chia is. Rabbi Chia is saying it only applies to tumat meit. What does that mean, tumat meit? We thought meant tumat meit, not tumat sheretz. The Zigni Derom say, no, it applies to tumat meit and tumat sheretz, does not apply to tumat ziva. And here's your scenario of tumat ziva that's called tumat tahom. Melahad by Rami Barchama Kohen Amiratze Bikarbanoteim Hutralo Tuma Hatehom Olo Hutralo Tuma Tatehom. Rami Barchama has a question. He wants to know that when it comes to the Kohen Hamiratze Bikarbanoteim, if he is coming to process the korbanot, is Hutralo Tuma Tahom Olo Hutralo Tuma Tahom? What is the status of the Kohen with regards to Tuma Tahom? Tifsho to Tuma Tahom Hutralo Ta'ocha Kohen Kamina. And over here, the way that the Zikne de Rome are reading the Brayta before, they say that it's referencing to the Kohen. And in reference to the Kohen, it says that the person has tamei tumat sheretz v'tumat taguf. They are problematic. He cannot process the korban. But tumat tahom, totally fine. Because the topic, according to Zikne de Rome of the Brayta, is the Kohen himself. So the Kohen himself was tamei tumat sheretz, disqualified. Kohen himself, tamei, tumat tahom of sheretz, totally fine. And same thing with tumat tamet of tumat tahom, this Kohen would be fine. So now Rami Bar Chama was questioning, a Kohen who has tumat tahom, is he good? Is avoda okay? Is everything okay with his avoda? What do you mean? We have an answer. The Zigne Darom say the Brayta is speaking exactly about this case. And that means that according to them, tumat tahom is valid and would be totally fine. If so, the tumat tahom, hutralo, that it would have been okay. And here we're speaking about that bright about a Kohen, and it says tumat tahom is fine. The Rami Bar Chama vadei plige. Rami Bar Chama clearly disagrees with the Zikne Darom, because his question wouldn't have been valid if he read the Brayta the same way the Zikne Darom read it. The way the Zikne Darom read the Brayta, there's no question that Kohen that's the meat tumat tahom is fine. It's hutralo. There's no issue. So the fact that Rami Bar Chama poses the question shows you that he didn't read the Brayta in that manner. Because he read the Brayta in that manner, he had an answer to his question. The fact that he doesn't have an answer to his question shows he doesn't hold like the Zikne Darom. So now we have two views here. We have the Zikne Darom's view, and we have Rami Bar Chama's view, who clearly argue. And now the Gemara is going to continue to try to now understand that. Tashma, Minasaron et avona kodoshim. It says, with regards to the tzitz, that Aaron will carry the avon of the kodoshim, the sin of the kodoshim. The chi ezel avon nosei. What exactly is the sin that he carries? What is it that he provides kapara for or overrides the disqualification? Im avon pigol, if it's referencing to pigol, harikvar ne'amar lo yechashev. Avon notar, harikvar ne'amar lo yiratzeh. So over here, there is a problem in the Girsa, which Rashi notes. And Rashi notes that this problem with this Brayta that's quoted all over Shas has a problem with the language that is brought here because of the way that the Gemara darshans the Pasuk in Parshat Tzav. What we're speaking about here are the issues of Chutz L'Mekomo and Chutz L'Zmano. Machshevet, Chutz L'Mekomo, if you think about doing parts of the Korban outside of the allotted time, dealing with achilat ha-korban or achilat mizbeach, or you have in mind to do it chutz l'zmano, Again, at Achilat Amizbech or Achilat Adam, you plan on doing this outside of the allotted time that is appropriate for this korban. That's what we're speaking about over here, and that's the way the pasuk is darshened by the Chazal. Now, the pasuk, we've quoted this a number of times, Im ha'achol ye'achel mi'basar zerach shlamah v'yom ha'shlishi lo ye'iratzeh. It will not be acceptable. Ha'makriv oto lo ye'chashev lo pigul iyeh. Ba'nefesh ha'achel mi'menu avona tisa. So now, what Rashi's issue is, and I've noticed for you a number of times, that in the Torah, the word pigul means chutzlim komo. In Chazal, the word pigul means chutzlim zmano. So Rashi says here, this is a drasha of Torah Kohanim, the Midrash Halacha, on Vayikra, and they're quoting the Pasuk. When they say Avon Pigol, they mean the Avon of Chutzlim Komo. He says that the terminology, Lo Yeretzeh, is a reference to Chutzlim Komo. And then Avon Notar, which is not literally Notar, the Gemara on Chavtet, later on will tell us that it can't be speaking about Notar, because how could it be that a Korban becomes Pasul and then is made Kasher afterwards? If you already went past the deadline and you went overstage your expiry date, there's no way you can bring it back afterwards and say, oh, it's still kosher. The tzitz can't fix that type of problem. Chutz lizmano is something where you only had in mind to eat it outside the zman. You don't actually do that. So that maybe the tzitz could be meratzeh on. So that psul of makshevet notar, shechishev lochlo achar shenaseh notar, dachaynu makshevet chutz lizmano, there it says, the language of lo yechashev is used with regards to chutzli zmano. The language of lo yiratzeh is used by chutzlim komo. That's the drush of Torah Kohanim. And what Rashi points out is that the Gemara here brings it exactly the opposite. It says, ima bon pigol harek v'nermar lo yechashev. Rashi says, wait a minute, pigol is chutzlim komo. Torah Kohanim tells us that the reason it's disqualified is because it says lo yiratzeh. And Mimavon Notar, which is Chutz L'Zmano, it says, Lo Yechashev is the disqualifying factor. So Rashi says the psukim are flipped, and you need to flip the language in order to correct it. Unusual here, the Gemara does not conform to Rashi's girsa. In general, when Rashi said, Hachi Garcina, that's the way our Gemara looks. There are exceptions to that case. This is similar to those exceptions. That's where the Bali Tosfot argued against Rashi, and say that you can keep the original girsa. And over here, the Rabbeinu Tam says you can keep the original girsa, and that's why they preserved it. Despite the fact that Rashi says, Hachi Garcina, nevertheless, Rabbeinu Tam says, even though what he's saying makes sense, nevertheless, you can keep it here. He says, Rabbeinu Tam mikayim girsat asfarim, the Garcina nipcha, opposite of what Rashi says, the pigol lo yechashev, ubenotar lo yiratzeh, the way that we have it, because they learn it out from a different pasuk. So that's why they learn it out from a different pasuk totally. Why is it that the pasuk quotes pigol first, kodim lenotar, when in the pasuk it's the other way around? It says, "Im echol yachal mipar zevach shlama b'yom ha'shlishi lo yiratzeh." That's chutz lizmano. Hamakriv oto lo yechashev lo pigul iyeh. Pigul iyeh is chutzlim komo. So the order in the pasuk is chutz lizmano, and then chutzlim komo. Why do you quote it in reverse? Da'ayin chutzlimo mishum d'lashom pigul k'tiv b'kra b'hedja. Because that's explicit in the pasuk, and therefore they mention chutzlim komo first, which is explicit term in the pasuk, rather than chutz lizmano, which is only hinted to by the anotar mivayach zevach shlamim at yom ha'shlishi. So the Rabbeinu Tam preserves it, but either way here you have a statement by the Torat Kohanim, which says that the tzitz is miratzeh. We're looking for what the tzitz is miratzeh on. The Gemara says, I can tell you this, it's not speaking about machshevet chutz lizmano, and it's not speaking about machshevet chutz limkomo, because there we have specific sukkim that tell you, lo yechashev and lo yiratzeh, that there's nothing that will correct this problem. This problem is a permanent disqualification, and the problem will not be cured by the tzitz. So now the Gemara says, ha enu noseh el avon tuma. The only thing that the tzitz can take care of is the avon tuma, shehotra michlala bitzibur, because it is, in some instances, waived. So what they're saying is the fact that tuma is waived in some instances gives you the opportunity that the tzitz, in other instances, can come and take care of the problem. So my tuma. What tuma are we speaking about? Ilei mami too much sheretz. If you're speaking about too much sheretz, heicha ishtare. Where do you ever find that tumat sheretz has any dispensation that allows you to override the tumat sheretz? Tumat sheretz is always a blocking force. There is no dispensation to override it. Ela tumat mate. What you must be speaking about here is tumat mate. Velav, kagon shen nitmu ba'alim b'mate. It's a case where the balim themselves become a tamei tumat mate. Alma nitmu ba'alim b'mate. Mishalchim korbenotehem. Sounds from here that if the balim become tamei tumat mate, they can send their korbenot. The tzitz is miratzeh. That's exactly the case or scenario that we must be speaking about here, that the tzitz is miratzeh. It's a case where there's a dispensation. Hutar michlala means that there's a case where the tumat mate is overridden. That's tumat hutra b'siyur or tumat duchuya b'tzimur. And it's a case where we don't have any explicit statement in the pasuk that says lo yiratzeh lo yechashev. And we have a manifestation when they balim, who are tzmeim, and not the tzibor, that they would have been improper for them to bring it. Nevertheless, the tzitz is miratzeh. Balei Tosafot over here bring from the Rabbeinu Tam as to why the Gemara is searching for instances where the tzitz is miratzeh. What is the idea behind the tzitz being miratzeh that leads them down this path? Why were they looking at pigul? Why were they looking at chutz limkomo, chutz lizmano? What are all these things driven by? It says, Omer Rabbeinu Tam, mishum nechtibe gatzitz liratzon lahem. The tzitz says liratzon lahem, demashma davashu liratzon bimakom acher. That is something that you find ritzui in another situation. Ulhachi dochik lashkuchei utar michlalan. Why is the Gemara so fixated on finding something that has a heter, a dispensation in another location? If the tzitz is miratzeh, it's miratzeh. Why do you need to have, find something that has ritzui in some other situation? So what the Rabbeinu Tam says is that is essential to the functioning of the tzitz. The tzitz says it is miratzeh l'ratzon lahem. It will be something that brings ratzon, but the way the Rabbeinu Tam interprets it is l'ratzon lahem, something that is a ritzui somewhere else. Here, the tzitz will help you out in this situation. So now, what the Gemara is searching for are items that have ritzui in other situations. Meaning, in other situations, you're able to overcome the problem, despite the fact that there's some problem here. So then the tzitz will enter into that fray. That's why the Gemara is so fixated on finding something that's hutar michlalo. And then, he goes on to explain, that is why the Gemara needed to bring specific lo yechashev and lo yiratzeh over here, because these are items that are hutar michlalan. Omer Rabbeinu Tam, the pigul hutar michlalo bibama. That there's no such thing as a machshevet chutz limkomo by a bama, because a bama has no fixed location. By definition, it goes everywhere, wherever you are. Never there's no chutz limkomo for a bama. And he says, since you see there is hutar michlalo by the bama, that's why the Gemara is searching and saying, oh, maybe pigul, maybe chutz zmano, in terms of their ability to be merutzeh, they had sits because we find mitzvah in other places. And so that's why you need lo yiratzeh and lo yechashev. You should have just answered, we don't find them hutar michlalan anywhere. But the answer is we do find them hutar michlalan, and therefore they might have been included, and that's why you need psukim. Although it's true, by chutz lizmano it's much harder to find, and then the Balei Tosfot seem to suggest that maybe that chutz lizmano was brought just agav. It wasn't necessary, you don't need a pasuk to exclude it, because there's no hutar michlalo in any other place. Then the Tosfot backs away from it and says, maybe nirat notar yesh lamed avon avon miritzui tzitz. Maybe there's a gzeirah shava that would have allowed you to be hutar michlalo. And then they bring an additional area where there are cases where makshevet chutz lizmano has no impact, and that those are korbanot that have no matirim. For instance, he brings notar hutar michlalo b'minchat kohanim. Mechad Kohen Mashiach. These are menachot that are brought that don't have any comets that's taken off them to be eaten because they kulo nisraf ala mizbeach. So there's no matir in that case. And we know that the machshevet, chutz lizmano, chutz lizmano is only impactful in an avoda of a matir. So he says, v'komets v'chol davar she'en lo matirim, en chavin alem mishum pigo. So that's what gets this idea of what the Gemara is searching for. How does the Gemara even have any sense of what it's like? It's tzitz meratzeh. How do you know what to look for? Why are they always looking for this? So the Rabbeinu Tam tells you the ritzui aspect of it is very important. It has to be something that's a ratzon lahem, that's ritzui in other places, where it's not impacted by these machshavot or by these actions. then we can now say that tzitzis meratze on that. So Gemara speculated, chutzlim koma, makshem chutzlim koma, makshem chutzlim zmano, which have manifestations where they are merutze. So now maybe the tzitz should help. We have lo yechashev, lo yeratze, knocks that out. Tuma, hutra betzibor, tuma dechuya betzibor. There you have a possibility of ritzoy. That's what the Gemara accepts, is what the tzitz is meratze on. And now we're narrowing down what that is. Ubimai, what is the scenario that we're speaking about? Ibn Nazir, if you're speaking of a Nazir, b'chiyum meut meit alav amar rachmana. What do you mean? A Nazir that becomes to meit, to mata meit, he is disqualified from bringing the Qurban, not because of the Qurban oath, but because he's not a Nazir anymore. The tumata meit upends his Nazirut, and he's not qualified to bring his Qurban oath of Tumah for the Nazir until he becomes Tahor. And his Qurban oath Hashlama of the Nazir he can't bring until he restarts his whole count of his Nazirut. So there you have other technical problems that will not allow him to bring his Qurban. Even if he brought his Qurban and you said the Qurban oath were fine, he's not ready to bring the Qurban oath. He's not Chayav in the Qurban oath at that time. Ella must be speaking about the Osef Pesach, someone who brings a Qurban of Pesach. And this would be supportive of the view of the Ziknei Darom, that a Qurban of Pesach that's brought by Yachid, when it is disqualified, meaning that it shouldn't have been brought, because it's tumata meit, and they should have waited until Pesach Sheni, despite the fact they brought it, the tzitz is meratzeh, the tzitz takes care of it. That's exactly like the view of the Ziknei Darom. And that would be a question on Rami Bar Chama. Because Rami Bar Chama clearly does not subscribe to the view of the Ziknei Darom. And he believes that Tumata Meit is not overridden. Meaning that when you have either the Balim or the Kohen who is processing the Korban that are Tamei and they are Yechidim, Rami Bar Chama believed that it was not overridden by the Tzitz. That's exactly what the Braika said. That it doesn't help for Tumata Guf. It doesn't help for Tumata Meit. Ziknei Darom say it does help, and then this brayta looks great for them because here you have an instance where you have tumata meit by yachid. He shouldn't have brought the korban yet qualified because it sits in mizratzeh. So it sounds like here that sits in mizratzeh both on a yachid who brings it as well as a kohen that processed it, and it would have been fine. Gemara narrowed it down to the Pesach. That would have been a good proof to the Ziknei Darom. And the Gemara says no, it doesn't have to be a question on Rami Bar Chama. Dolam b'sheretz. It's speaking about his sheretz, and it's saying that tumat sheretz, the tzitz is miratzeh on the tumat sheretz, b'shem tumah be'olam, which is that, yes, tumat sheretz doesn't have any hutar mechlalo, but tumah as a whole does have a hutar mechlalo. And so it's not this particular type of tumah, but tumah in general has this dispensation, and therefore tumat sheretz would be a valid way to explain this, right? In that way, you can now protect Rami Bar Chama and say that the tzitz here is miratzeh. It's not speaking about tumata balim, but rather about tumata sheretz. So here you know that about tumata sheretz, someone has to make tumata sheretz, that the tzitz is miratzeh, the shchot for the zrok, al tamei tumata sheretz. And again, you'd have to suggest here that Rami Bar Chama believes that ein shochtim bezorkim al tamei tumata sheretz. And therefore the tzitz is miratzeh if you do it for tumat hasheretz. Now the Gemara takes another approach to this Braita and brings it as a proof to Rami Bar Chama and a question on the Ziknei Darom. Vike the Daike Umayte Hochi. Some people are midayek and bring this whole question in the opposite direction, which is Avon HaKodoshim in Avon Makdishim Lo. The Tzitz is Miratze on Avon HaKodoshim on the Hektesh, on the Korban itself. Not on the Avon HaMakdishim. Not on the avon of those that are makdish, meaning the balim are not covered by the tzitz meratzeh. So now, my here means ezu tuma. What tuma are we speaking about? Ilei ma tuma sheretz, mi shtariya b'tzibor. If you're talking about tuma sheretz, where do you ever find a dispensation where it's hutar michlala? Elalava tumat meit. It must be speaking about tumat meit. And then, babon kodoshim in, avon makdishim lo. And with regards to tumata meit, it says it covers the korban. If the Korban became Tamei, it covers you and Mitzitz is Meratzeh. But the Avon HaMakdishim, the Balim, that does not cover you for Tumat Tameit. That would be like Rami Bar Chama, that the Braita before said, if the Balim have Tamei Tumat Aguf, they're not covered by the Tzitz. That's the Braita that says, in a Tzitz Meratzeh Tumat Aguf. So that means if the Balim or the Kohanim or Tameim, they are not covered over here, which would be supportive of his view. And that would leave the question of Tumat Tahom open then with regards to is Tumato Meratzeh on the Kohen or not Meratzeh by the Kohen, that we don't know because the Braita wasn't speaking about that. The Braita is speaking about Tumat Meit of the Baalim, that it's not qualified. But what about Tumat Tohom? Tumat Tohom is good by the Baalim. Is it also good by the Kohen? The Braita doesn't address that. Therefore, his question remains at large. So Agmar says, lo, you don't have to explain the Braita that way. The Olam Tumat Sheretz. Speaking about Tumat Sheretz. But Tumat Sheretz, where do you ever see it? It's Hutar Mechlalo, which is what the Braita says, carries the day as to what it sits his Meratz on. Says, shame, Tumat Bola. Zidnei Darom will answer the same way that Rami Bar Chama did in the previous way we're explaining the Braita, and say that, yeah, it's talking about Tumat Sheretz. And there you're right, a Kohen is disqualified in that case. Can't be the Balim, because they think Shoftim is okay about Tumat Sheretz, so there's nothing to qualify you for. But the Kohanim will be fine in that case if they were to make Tumat Sheretz on Erev Pesach when they're processing the Korban. They will be disqualified and invalidate the Korban of Pesach. The Braita said it's only something that's Hutar Mechlala that sits in the Ratzah. Enoch and Ami, Tumat Sheretz is in Hutar Mechlala, but Tumah as a whole is Hutar Mechlala. And this is just a subset of the world of Tumah. And the Braita speaking about Tumat Sheretz. And similarly, before, when we were speaking about the Braita that says it sits is not Meratzah, Tumat Aguf, that was speaking about Tumat Sheretz. But when it comes to Tumat Meit, Enoch and Ami, that it sits is Meratzah al Tumat Aguf of the Baalim, of the Kohen, everybody will be covered by the tzitz being meratzeh in that case. All right, now we leave that behind. Move on to the next issue that was mentioned in the Mishnah, Yoshev. Someone who is seated when they do the avoda, they're disqualified, and they are mechalel. The korban is invalidated by their doing the avoda while seated. Yoshev minalan, where do we know that that's true? Amarov, Amarav Nachman, Amakra, la'amod le'sharet. It says that you must be standing when you are in service. Le'amida bechartiv velo le'yeshiva. I chose them to do this when they are standing, not when they are seated. So now over here, the limud seems to be that la'amod, they are considered to be kohanim. When they're yoshev, they're not classified as kohanim. This is very similar to what we saw before in the Gemara with Big Day Kehuna, which is Kesher Big Day Malehem, Kunatam Alehem. When they're wearing the Big Day Kehuna, they're classified as Kohanim. When they're not wearing the Big Day Kehuna, they're not classified as Kohanim. Because the Pasuk in Devarim Yudchet seems to indicate that the avoda they're doing is premised on this. V'zei Mishpat HaKohanim Eit Ha'am, and it gives you a list of things that the Kohanim get as matnot of the Gvudim. And then it says, Kivo bachar Hashem Elokecha mikol shvatecha. Hashem chose them from amongst all your people, all the shvatim, la'amod l'sharet b'shem Hashem hu banav kol yamim. To be in service of Hashem, to stand before Him and to service Him. So there you see that there's a requirement when you're in service to be standing, and that is, Kivo bachar Hashem Elokecha mikol shvatecha. Their being chosen is dependent on their la'amod l'sharet. So they're only considered to be chosen, they're only considered to be Kohanim, when they're Omeid and Misharet. If they're not Omeid and Misharet, they're not considered to be Kohanim. So Tana Rabbanan, Lamod L'Sharet Mitzvah. That, you would say, is only L'Chatchila. Kishu Omer, when the Pasuk says, two Psukim later, it says, V'chi Yavo Alevi Ma'achat Sharecha Mekol Yisrael Shehu Garsham, V'av V'chol Avat Nashom Makom Hashem Karshem, V'Sharet B'Shem Hashem Lukav, ככל אחד הלווים עומדים שם לפני השם, חלק כחלק יוכלו לבד ממקור הלוות. But here you see what it says, ככל אחד הלווים עומדים שם. So the עומדים, you have the word עומד again. Now obviously over here, the word Levi that's used in the Pasuk is not a reference just to Levi, Shevet Levi, it's a specific reference to the Kohanim, because it's speaking about Avodah. And it says they have to be ha-omdim. Shana lava ketuv le'akev. So that teaches you, not only is it lechathila, he must be standing in service, but even b'di'avad, if he's not standing in service, he is disqualified. So Amalei Rabba the Rav Nachman, Michte, Yoshev Kizar Dami. We just concluded that Yoshev is the same thing as a Zar. Umachil Avodah. And on top of that, he profanes the Avodah, he invalidates any Avodah that he does. Ema ma Zar b'mita, af Yoshev b'mita. Why don't we say, just like a Zar is Chayav Mita, when he comes in service to the Mikdash, and does a avoda, it's chayav mita. So too, a kohen that is seated should also be chayav mita, like a zar. And again, we have precedents for that, like mechuser bigadim.
By mechuzar megadim, we also say he's deemed to be a zar, and he's punished by death. Alama tanyo, why do we have a breita that tells us? Aval, arel, onein, yoshev. When it comes to the person who is uncircumcised, an onein, someone who is in a period waiting for the burial of a mate, of one of the sheve krovim, that they're chayav itabel aleihem, classified as an onein, yoshev, or they're seated, even though they are disqualified from the avoda, einan b'mita. Even though they're disqualified from the avoda, and they invalidate whatever they do, it's mechulal, they're not chayav mita b'dei shemayim, ela bazara. They only have a lav that is associated with it. So now the Gemara is asking, if you want to parallel these cases, then if it's treated like a zar, you should take it all the way and treat him like a zar all the way. Now how the limud works is a machloket Rashi and Tosfot over here. Rashi says over here, why would you think that he should be b'mita? B'nigmar b'me matzinu. Let us learn it out of b'me matzinu b'zar, sh'meichal avoda, b'chayav mita, af yoshev sh'meichal avoda b'mita. So me matzinu, we have paradigms by which we see if you're disqualified from avoda, and if you do the avoda, it is invalid. So now you're chayav mita. So over here too, you have the same din by yoshev. He is disqualified. And if he does the avoda, it's invalid. So that may matzina should tell you that they should get the third leg of the stool, which is chayav mita. That's what Rashi says, it's a may matzinu. And that's what the Gemara is trying to do. And the Gemara is going to show that it's no longer a may matzinu. It's not a binyan av. Because a binyan av is when you have a single statement, then you say that becomes paradigmatic in nature, and we extrapolate it to other areas. If the Torah gives you that din by two or three items, it's telling you it's no longer paradigmatic. These are the exceptions to the rule. And it's only applicable over here, and that's going to be the answer of the Gemara. And the Gemara answers, Mishum, Dave Mechuser Begadim, Mishalo Rachutz Yedayim Galayim, Shnei Ktovim Abayim Ke'echad. Because you have a case of Mechuser Begadim, who we know is, number one, disqualified. Number two, and the voters are valid. And he's Chayav Mita. And Rechutz Yedayim Galayim, someone who doesn't wash their hands, disqualified. They do avoda, invalid. And they're Chayav Mita. Shnei Ktuvim Abayim Ke'echad. You have two psukim that come to tell you the same din. Shnei Ktuvim Abayim Ke'echad. Eim Elamdim. They're no longer paradigmatic. They become the exception to the rule. Ulamanda Amar Melamdim. And according to the one who says they can teach, even when you have two, that's still paradigmatic in nature. Shtui Yayin Avilei Shlishi. You have a third case, which is Shtui Yayin is disqualified. Does avoda invalid. And chayav mita if he does avoda, then becomes shlosha k'tuvim abayim k'chad. And when you have shlosha k'tuvim abayim k'chad, the divya kol eim lamdim. Everybody says those are the exception to the rule and not paradigmatic in nature. And even though according to this explanation, why didn't the Gemara bring the pasuk of zar? Because that would have been just as good a proof that we have cases where you have chiyuv mita, and it could have been one of the psukim over here. Rashi, you can see in the nusach acher, that's brought in the Masorah Shas, addressed that question by simply saying that eino chanami. The Gemara could have brought either that or mechuser begadim, because the limud mita by mechuser begadim derives from being a zar. And so the Gemara brought one of those two psukim, but it couldn't bring both of them because they both derive from the same fact that mechuser begadim is a zar, and therefore chayav mita. Even though we do have a pasuk in Parshat Tetzaveh that speaks about mita by mechuser begadim, that's uniquely associated with mechnesayim and not with all the big day kahuna. That does leave a residual question in Balei Tosafot as to why the Gemara didn't bring mechnesayim as one of the psukim as an example, or why can't it use that to dispel whatever we are thinking over here. The Balei Tosafot say that that's not the way. Perish b'kuchis nigmar b'mei matzino, and he says v'kasha. If you're using the binyan av, why is the Gemara only questioning about zar by yoshev? They should question all these cases. Onein and arel also are the same din, which is, they are disqualified from avoda. They do the avoda, it's mechulal. So why don't they also have a chiyuv mita associated with them? The Gemara should ask the question about all three of these items, not just about yoshev. And Rashi is bothered by the explanation of the Gemara. He says, "V'tuva kashali begava." I have some strong questions over here about it. Chado, the malolei mod mehen hamita begufa k'tiv, the kaven de zaru v'zara karev yumat. He asked the question that basically the Balei Tosfot asked, which is, why do you need to go to these other areas to learn it? There is Mita that's written by the Zayr itself. It says, Zayr HaKarev Muyumat. The only reason we know that a Mechusar Begadim is Chayav Mita is because he's compared to a Zayr. When he's missing his clothing, then he is a Zayr. And that's how you get the Chayav Mita. That's the case, then how do you even know that his work is Mechulal? Because you're learning from these other limudim, there are plenty of psukim that say that it is mechulal. And that means now you have shnei ktuvim kubayim, or shlosha ktuvim kubayim. How do you learn mechulal? For that reason, the Baal Yatosafot, nirat de parech, mishum de rashinan la amida becharteim lo lishida, shlo bachar bekoanim yoshvim ela nechshavim kmo yisraelim zarim, lakech mechalel abudah kezar. He says, because they're treated exactly like a zar, and therefore, they have a din like a zar, which is mita by the zar. So what Rashi says is, it's a mematzino, which we find that a zar is mechil avodah. And since you have this paradigmatic case, you should extrapolate it to these other cases, or at least the case in Yoshev. Tosafot says that's not the case. We're learning it because he is a zar. We're saying that not only is he a Kohen that's disqualified, he's a Kohen that's no different than a Zar now. If he's a Zar, then he should be Chayav Mita. Not because it's paradigmatic, but because he is a Zar. And that's the nature of the question over here. So the Baal Yatosafot suggests that the question is a much more direct question, which is, if the Yoshev is considered like a Zar, then he should have all the properties of a Zar, including the Chayav Mita. And we have precedence for that because Mechusar Begadim also is classified like a Zar, and that's how we know there's a Chiyuv Mita that is associated with Mechusar Begadim. The answer of the Gemara is that we have multiple items where there is a Chiyuv Mita, and all of them derive from the fact that they're deemed to be like Zarim. And those two cases also specifically have a Chiyuv Mita written by them. And that Chiyuv Mita tells you that only in those cases there are Chiyuv Mita when they're deemed like Zarim, but otherwise, just because you're deemed like a Zar doesn't give you a Chiyuv Mita. That is, Shalom Rachutz Yedayim Raglayim, Mechusar Begadim. As the Pasuk says, Vasala Mechnesei Bad, Bechasot Basar Erva, Mimotnai Vad Yerechayim Yu, Vayu Al Aron Vabanav, Vavuam Aron Moed, O Begishtam HaMizbech HaShereit Bakodesh, Velo Yisu Avon Vameitu, Chukat Olam Lo Luzaro Acharav. So you see that there is a Chiyuv Mita directly written with regards to Mechusar Begadim. It's not learned out of the fact that it is a Zar. All of them are deemed to be like Zarim. And the fact that they are deemed to be like Zarim already makes it that the din that you are like a Zar in Chiyuv Mita is limited to these cases and not extrapolable to other cases. So you have two views, or two ways to read through the Gemara. Rashi's view that it derives from a Mematzino. And then the Mematzino is discarded because of the fact that we have multiple psukim teaching the same thing, which would then undermine the Binyan Av. Or the view of the Baal Yatosafot that it was a direct limud from the fact that he was a Zar. Therefore, the Mechusar Begadim is Chayav Mita. Why don't you say the same thing here with regards to Yoshev? If he's deemed to be a Zar, he should have a Chayav Mita. The answer of the Gemara is that there's a specific pasuk by Mechusar Begadim that tells you you are Chayav that we saw in Vata Titzaveh. And that's what makes you Chayav Mita over there. Whereas over here, you only have Yoshev that is deemed to be a Zar. That's not enough to give you a Chiyuv Mita. But then the Baal Yatosafot acknowledge that Chiyuv Mita is associated with the Mechnesei Bad, not necessarily with all the Big Day Kuhuna. And number two is the Gemara in Sanhedrin seems to say that Mechusar Begadim is Chayav Mita because he's deemed like a Zar. So for both of those reasons, that favors Rashi's interpretation. Although, he brings from the Yaakov in New Orleans that the Pasuk that speaks about Mechnasayim, that it has application to all Begadim, and it's not learnt out of Zar. And that way he differentiates between the case of Mechusar Begadim, where Mita is written by it, and that's why you're Chayav Mita, not because you're a Zar, versus the case of Yoshev, where there's no Mita written by it, and just because you're a Zar doesn't automatically mean that you're Chayav Mita. And Rashi's interpretation, as we noted, is that he's learning it through a Mematzino, through a Binyan Av. And the reason that you can't learn directly that he is a Zar over here, so he should be just like the Zar of Mechusar Begadim, is because of the difference in the Psukim. The Pasuk by Mechusar Begadim includes the word Kohen in it, and that from that you learn that Bizmach Begadim Aleim, Kunat Amaleim, Sajemi Aleim, Enkunat Amaleim. Because there the Pasuk mentions Kohen explicitly when it speaks about Bigdehem Alehem. So over there, when you make the drush that he's like a czar, that's literally that he's not a Kohen. And therefore, that din of czar really is spelled out in the Pasuk, that Kohuna and Bigadim are integrally connected. In our Pasuk that we're quoting from Dvarim, about Lamod L'Sharet, it's only implied, it's not explicitly said in the Pasuk, it's just implied from the beginning of that Parshia, that Lamod L'Sharet is connected to them being chosen as a Shevet. So therefore it's less direct, the fact that you're classified like a czar, and therefore we have to learn it through a Ben Matzino. And then the answer of the Gemara is that that Ben Matzino doesn't work because of the fact that we have Shnei Ketuvim Abayim Kechad, and that's why we bring these psukim to tell you that these two or these three are exclusively that way, nothing else is that way. Alright, we're going to stop here by the two dots on the top of Chav Dalet Amud Aleph.